When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, first down, Daniels back. A little pressure, throws it deep down the right side, caught. McLaurin, 45, he's running away. McLaurin's going to score! Down the right sideline, ran away from everybody, and with one play and 21 seconds left, Terry McLaurin went 86 yards. And they're an extra point away, and Dan Quinn says, let's kick one.
Brad Sham with a nice job. Because usually the other team's commentary is, oh, God. And then it's just dead silence with the color guy going, no, no, no. Brad keeping it professional right there. That was the call yesterday on this radio station. We are your home for Dallas Cowboys football after an all-time thriller in the fourth quarter. That made it 27-26, and they missed the extra point. Another extra point. Let's stop it down right there, Choppy. And analyze Dan Quinn and the extra point versus two-point decision with 21 seconds left.
Man, that's one of those you either are on board or you're not. There's not really a kind of an in-between. You're either on board with the decision of going for two, or you're never going to be on board with that decision. I would have gone for the two-point conversion there. Go for the win. You've got a really dynamic... If you had a pocket passer, I could argue no. But when you have that added dimension of being able to use Jaden Daniels' legs, we've seen Dak in that same situation. I mean, the two-point conversion for the Cowboys is really, when Dak was able to run, able to be mobile, that really was an unstoppable play. So I think going for two would have been the absolute right decision, especially when you factor in that kicker he booted a couple that day. You know, he wasn't looking tremendous anyway. I know he had just made a 50-something yarder with about a minute and 40-something to go.
51 at 140.
Yeah, yep. It was a good kick. But still, a lot of things could go wrong there. Just try to go for two.
Yeah, I would have gone for two. I think the analytics or whatever else, the little calculators that exist out there would tell you not to. But I think context matters, and... Dallas was able to move the ball pretty efficiently all day. Like, if that was going into overtime, I think that you're banking on just you crush their spirit. But otherwise, I felt like Dallas was going to be able to move the ball. And Washington had a lot of trouble. Like Mike Zimmer did a lot of really good things that really frustrated Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels had no idea where the blitz was coming from almost this entire game. And it was making his head spin a little bit. And he wasn't sure where to go with his reads. And so... when you got a fluky, essentially 86-yard touchdown, where it takes Jordan Lewis not getting enough depth, Josh Butler taking the wrong angle to the sideline, and then Israel Mukwamu turning the wrong way as the last line of defense, it's like that was a perfect storm for them to even score there. So I would have gone for two if I was Washington, but I think the charts probably did tell them to go for just the extra point.
I think the two questions you have to ask yourself if you're Washington is, who's the overall better team and who is playing better today?
Right. Well, that's part of it.
Overall, we would say Washington's the better team. So, like, let's just go ahead, let's get this tied, and then things will play out the way that they're supposed to. How much are you really scared of the Cowboys offense moving it? Like Bobby said, Cooper Rush ending up with some nice numbers. So I understand them saying, look, it's more likely that we get the next field goal than them. The other issue is what your kicker's doing. And then Aubrey from 60, 63, 64, right? Field goal range for the Cowboys is more expanded than everybody else.
It's midfield.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's this side of midfield.
I'm not killing him for it like I did Todd Bowles a few weeks ago. I get it. I understand it. I also would have understood. So I am kind of in the middle, not black or white with it. I would have understood if you wanted to take advantage of Jaden Daniels' legs. But just like overall, we're the better football team. We're at home. Normally you see teams tie to extend.
Yeah.
At home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm sure Dan Quinn felt like even with the kicker struggling, he can't predict that the long snapper is going to throw it in there sideways and low to where it's like you've got to kind of – and as soon as that play, that extra point felt like it happened in slow motion.
Yeah.
Where just it felt like I was able to process, that – I don't think he's going to make this because that clearly came in the wrong way. That usually makes kickers hesitate and they tend to hook.
Yeah.
And then that's exactly what he did.
A lot of things had to go wrong on that for them to miss it.
I would also like to ask a kicker, maybe David Beeler can hit us up, maybe he's listening, Tolo. When the ball snapped low like that, but the holder eventually gets it up and right and looking good, which it did look like he recovered nicely, does that always throw the kicker off? Like, how many times out of 10 does the bobble, no matter what happens, throw the kicker off? Because laces were out, ball was spun around, it was settled. And I'm like, okay, should that have really, did that play into it? And should that play into it from a kicking standpoint? No matter what happens, if you don't break stride, have a little giddy up in your step, your momentum is not slowed, you just go with the same speed and you always assume that the holder from a special... And hell, if you're a high school coach or college coach, hit us up and let us know whether that's an excuse for the kicker.
I think a lot of just like, look at any kind of like swing that you would have, baseball swing, golf swing, any kind of, you know, shot. And the slightest little thing that could throw you off could be very, very impactful. I don't know, like, I guess a lot of it depends on did he start going towards the placeholder before he had the ball settled? Like, you know, how does that work for every, you know, because it hasn't
And are they looking down at the hold in the process the entire time as they're going up? Like, and then you see that little giddy up and hiccup that has to mess with you mentally. Yeah. I don't know. I'm curious.
Yeah. A lot of kickers will talk about, and I didn't hear anybody talk about this one specifically yesterday, but a lot of kickers have talked about in the past, I know, when it comes up, just the idea of that. The rhythm of that and the muscle memory of that, and like that's why precision is so important to them on the snap, the hold, the kick, everything, because any bit of difference can cause any slight hesitation can cause you to really hook it.
And then, Choppy, before we get to star up, star down, I was texting asking you guys about Mike McCarthy's 2-point decision.
Yeah, so he had a similar situation. Not similar situation. It was a decision to go for two. They get up 19-9. All right, so they took a night after the touchdown, they took a 19-9 lead. This was the Schoonmaker touchdown. And they decide to kick the extra point. Now this makes it 20-9. So you're still with a touchdown, extra 2-point conversion, and a field goal. It's still basically a touchdown field goal game. And so is being up 19-9. The only difference there is you have the 2-point conversion thrown in there. The idea is that if you went for two and you fail, you're still up 10, right? So a touchdown field goal doesn't beat you. But if you score and you get the 2-point conversion, now you're up 12. They have to score two touchdowns to take the lead on you. You can't tie. You take the tie out of it. And that was the theory. And I know, I think Olson talked about that in the broadcast about the Cowboys should have probably gone for two there.
I saw some people complaining that McCarthy didn't go for two after the Wanya Thomas touchdown. That they were like, why even just end the game right here? They're probably not going to score a Hail Mary, but end it. Like, don't even give Jaden Daniels. They're getting the ball back. They clearly, it felt like they almost let you score at the end. Like, when Wanya started running back, it almost felt like they're like, all right, okay, like, pull up a little. Let them just go ahead and score. Mm-hmm. And so I do wonder if maybe that was also another one, because we saw a lot of people on Twitter complaining about that, too, where they were saying you should just end the game right there and try to go for two, because... And so that's two different times where he clearly doesn't want to. He just wants to put the kick up. So, I mean, I guess it's just a philosophical thing for him.
All right, let's talk about Wanya. Another game situation. Wanya Thomas, onside kick recovery, takes it to the house. Choppy, I know where you're going with it.
Well, look, if you're 6-4 and you're fighting for a playoff spot, I could go the other way. But this is like you're 20 games out in August in baseball and you got a guy up with a runner on second in the ninth inning in a two-run game, and you're up two, instead of getting the guy over, let him swing, right? The guy never hits. Let him swing. Defensive player, they never score. He had pay. I mean, he will never have an easier touchdown. You're going nowhere. You're not making the postseason. Let him score.
I disagree, and I think that this is a real bad indictment on the coaching of Bones Fossil and Mike McCarthy. Now, do I get it? I get it. Rah, rah, want to go along with it? First off, they're not believing, as they are telling us.
Oh, yeah.
We're out of it, and we can't make a run, as Micah Parsons is saying. We all believe that, and we all know that. They're not believing that. My general statement on this is I understand it. I get it. But I give you extra coaching points if you go down there. If you go down and have the awareness, I'm saying, oh my gosh, like that is a really well-coached football team because you end the game. And you, clearly Mike McCarthy was not happy about it. He was going up the Bones like, what the heck are we doing? There was not this celebration. They were pissed. They were pissed on the Cowboys sideline. McCarthy in the post said, that's something we got to get cleaned up. I love how Mike always throws in, you know, we practiced it. He always does it. He's like, that's what you have Thursday and Fridays for. But, you know, you still have to go over those situations. We practice all of them. So it's covered on my end. Well, clearly it wasn't covered well enough. So I'm not giving the rah-rah points. Get down, do what you're supposed to do, and end the football game.
Yeah, this wasn't – here's the other thing. This wasn't Matt Willett's go scooping up the kick. This is Wanya Thomas, who returns kicks alongside Turpin off at off times. He's gotten six returns this year. Like, he gets opportunities to do something with the ball. They just threw him a football last week on a fake punt.
Yeah.
He's going to get his opportunities because he's an athlete, and they use him for trick stuff all the time. That will not be the only touchdown he scores in his career, I don't think. And so this is not like...
I mean, they're not going to come in bunches.
No, they're not going to come in bunches, but he'll get another one.
And so I bet he never scores in his entire career.
I got to take my one opportunity. No. He had three return touchdowns in college. He gets opportunities to return here. He will score again. That was a little selfish, it felt like, yeah, in the moment. Because even when he was asked postgame, he said, I haven't gotten to score a touchdown before. Like, it was just like, screw y'all, I don't care.
Yeah, that to me is not this situation. Sometimes it is. This situation, I don't think that was an indictment of Bones. I mean, the player clearly wanted. He was like, screw y'all, I'm doing this regardless.
I don't know if we can get inside the head. All I know is on the sideline when they go, okay, we're going to have our hands on the football first, you better practice a breakaway situation where you're running free of everyone. You go down.
Yeah.
Go down. That has to be said. That has to be reminded. I don't know if it was, because I don't know if Wanya Thomas is outright defying that order and reminder seconds before.
I think Bones talks today. Like, I haven't seen updated media available. It's weird on short weeks like this how they do. But if Bones talks today, that'll be one of the questions he gets asked. Before the kick, did you tell everybody in the huddle, if you get the ball, just go to, and not even a breakaway situation, just cover the ball, get down, let's end this game, let's not risk anything here.
Star up, star down, brought to you by Crown Royal, proud whiskey of the NFL, and I would like to, what?
Nothing, I was about to say, by the way, that is the third onside kick return for a touchdown I can remember the Cowboys having now in the last 20 years. I don't know what it is about them. They've got a good luck streak with that.
I want to start with a guy you kind of referenced at 6 o'clock. Remind us of the story of Josh Butler. Third and two, breakup. Noah Brown defending him, breakup. Another third down at the end of the third quarter against Noah Brown. Josh Butler, star up.
Josh Butler is essentially a rookie, and he actually turned 28 years old today. Happy birthday, Josh Butler. But he is essentially a 28-year-old rookie. He had played at Michigan State. He was a West Mesquite kid. But his draft year was 2019, I think, like pre-COVID. Mm. And he didn't get picked because he's got decent size, but his arm length, he's 29-inch arms. His 40-yard dash was 4.75 coming out of Michigan State. He's not a freaky athlete or anything like that, but grinded, had played in indoor league and then XFL and got an opportunity here in Dallas. But he was somebody who at Michigan State, he went viral years ago he showed up to senior night or parents day, and he walked out there with his two dogs because his two parents had died while he was at Michigan State.
Wow.
And so this is a dude who, like, he is the... never gave up on his dreams, spent 5-6 years grinding in, you know, secondary leagues.
And I think now he's from Mesquite.
Yeah, he's West Mesquite. And so gets into the NFL, Cowboys give him a shot. And then yesterday, I mean, Kalen Carson was not hurt. Kalen Carson was a healthy scratch, and that's a guy that they had a lot of expectation for, and he steps out there. And, I mean, really early from the jump, he was making plays. Like even if he gives up a pass, there was not a lot of yards after catch against Josh Butler, say, other than Terry McLaurin. There was not a lot of that. There was, you know, a couple different pass breakups. He was fantastic.
More star up, star down, your Cowboy phone calls, Odyssey app messages. And are you pleased or upset that they actually won the game? Be honest at 877-881-1053 next.